I were single when all this shit went down.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no.
You hit the jackpot, like literally right in that window. You were like snuck in, mm-hmm. like snatched mm-hmm. it up.
Because legitimately, the thought of touching a stranger right now, ugh. Which first of all is gross to me anyways.
Right. Again, on a regular day. Mm. No, thank you.
And there's
you.
No regular days right now. No Wait, regular
no,
days.
No.
People, you don't know where they've been.
Ugh. So now I'm like.
At all.
So now I have an STD and coronavirus. Thanks, Brad.
Brad's not
Thanks,
worth
Kyle.
It.
Thanks, Kyle.
Brad is not worth Mm-mm. it. Oh, no. I mean, I've actually thought about that a lot. Like, I really want to know, like, what people are doing. What is dating like right now? Because I drive past restaurants. I can see yeah. people who I'm like, they're on a first date for sure.
Well, I know people who literally at the beginning of the pandemic, it was all over the apps. It was all over the apps. It exploded. Like the app usage exploded by like something crazy, like 800%. People wow. were all over Tinder, Bumble, all that stuff. And it was all talk. And then slowly people started having the Zoom dates. That became the new big mm-hmm. thing where people are like, I met him over Zoom, have felt this great connection, like blah, blah, blah. And then it became like socially distanced park dates and shit like that. But now I'll tell you, the people that I know that are single, the friends that I have that are out there dating, they're just fucking again.
That's what I was gonna say.
Back to normal.
There's no way people aren't fucking. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
You gotta fuck. It's tough, man. I'm so glad I'm not single right now. It's this world is not built for the single peoples. I feel bad.
No, it's not. Like we think about like how isolated we feel. Without our friend group, think about like, you know, as much as like it might get like stifling sometimes to be in a one bedroom apartment in California with your significant other. And another part, I'm just like so thankful. Like, what if you mm-hmm. had to do it on your own? So it's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
Well. Speaking of crazy pandemic things, I'm looking for a job, as I have been for quite a while. Mm-hmm. But I actually have been talking to this company for a while, and they sent me this thing. It was a link to like do like a personality test and it was like three different tests that I had to do online. And I was like, I literally joked with the girl who sent it to me. I was like, I haven't taken a test that wasn't related to BuzzFeed. And I don't know how long. I was like, I can't wait to find out which Sex and the City character I am. I was like,
you know what? Okay. That's so funny that you bring that up because Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist, my other podcast, we just put out an episode on Sex and the City. We did a whole episode mm-hmm. on Sex and the City. And it made me, I was like, look, there's a lot of problematic things with that show. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can acknowledge mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And also at the same time, realize that it's an entertaining show. And I
also groundbreaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
At the time.
For its time.
Absolutely. That was the whole thing was like, we can acknowledge that it was both a feminist milestone and also look back on it through the lens of 2020 and all we've learned culturally mm-hmm. and know that there were a lot of really big issues with this show.
Yeah. And in that way, it shows us like, oh, holy shit. We have made a step forward.
Look how far we've come.
Look how far we come because that whole storyline wouldn't exist like today, you know, that kind of thing.
This is so funny because it also ties in with the story that I'm going to tell later, my worst date story. But I rewatched, I've restarted Sex and the City. And man, I love that show. Like it's got so many issues, but that show is so fun.
I did too. I had like the box set. Like I loved that show when it was out and I haven't rewatched it in a number of years, but it'd be interesting to revisit it again like recently in a 2020
there are some things that are cringe, like major cringe, mm-hmm. right? But like for the most part, as long as you're watching it with the knowledge that this was something that came out in 1998, mm-hmm. you know, like if mm-hmm. you're looking through it with that lens, then it's okay. You're giving it that kind of like grace of something that came out a long time ago. We talk about this all the time in our Crazy right. in Love movie episodes. Romantic comedies in like the 90s, the 2000s.
Yes. Trial.
All on comedies, trial. To be honest. Yeah. All of them should go straight to jail. Do not pass go. All of them are bad.
Do not collect $200, whatever you do.
There's like a 90s movie. What is it? And I think it has Ryan Reynolds in it where they like eat donuts full of like dog jizz.
Excuse me? Oh, what? Waiting. Is it Waiting?
Ew.
I don't know. It's like something like that where I'm just like, oh my God, did we really watch this? Did
the bro comedy of the early 2000s is criminal. Like, I'm Phoebe Judge and this is criminal. Like, the stuff, why we were like this, I have no idea.
So
to
bad.
Be honest, like, looking back at the early 2000s, and I'm sure every generation feels this way, but because it was my formative years, my early like high school, right? Like it, looking back, I'm like, what was happening?
And somebody the way put that pen to paper was like licked the pen and was like, and then, and
I'm like, a masterpiece. They're like, mwah, a masterpiece.
Dude, where's my car?
What Starbucks let you do that?
I don't know, my dude. Like, I don't know. Oh. And like, looking back at the fashion of that time, I'm like, we actively scorned the 80s. Like, we looked back at the 80s as like
fuck you.
Me in 2003 was like looking back at the 80s, talking to my mom and being like, I can't believe you guys looked so ridiculous. Meanwhile, and I have a dress over jeans.
Oh yes, I was just gonna say that.
Dress.
Well, let me tell
you,
that
was the 90s.
My senior pictures.
Oof.
I am wearing a dress. I am wearing a t-shirt. With a dress over it, with jeans under the dress.
Yep.
It is a nightmare scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, and we were like,
this
high
tracks.
Fashion. I look like Lizzie McGuire. This is amazing. Lizzie McGuire.
Horrifying. It's true. It's so true.
It's true. You actually brought up a very big moment of trauma for me. And it
triggered.
My cousin is 6 months older than me, and my cousin would get like these crazy, what I call like fashionable in those times. She would get like the dress over jeans presents from Christmas from my grandma, and my grandma would always get me books and
oh,
shit.
Oh no.
Wow. Rude.
There's nothing like your grandma telling you that like you're the smart one. Like that's what it, that's the message it sends.
You're
right?
Not
like,
the cute one. You're
she's
the
pretty one.
Yep.
And you're the smart one is the message it sends. I'm not saying it's true, but that's the feeling you get.
Oh yeah.
When that
and
happens.
It was loud and clear. And I was like, wow.
Thanks, Nana.
Wow. So yeah, the dress over jeans thing. I specifically remember that Christmas, that specific Christmas, like crystal clear. I can see the outfit. I can see the box that she opened and everything.
Oh no, it left like a full on imprint. Yes. You're having like Christmas PTSD.
You're like
terrible.
Thanks, another Dune book.
I'm so happy.
Oh my
God. But you know what? Looking back though, maybe it was your grandma being like, you're more interesting. You have more value. I mean, that's a shitty thing to say. Like, as women who love like makeup and beauty and fashion, tons of value. I love all of those things. But you know what? Maybe it was like her way of being like, I see more promise for you.
And you know, here's the other thing. It could have also been the thing that she realized that I was like an avid reader. And it could have also been like,
she just knows
was giving
you.
Me something that she knew I loved to do, but I don't know why it like really
struck
me. What
if your cousin has a podcast and she's saying, my grandma only used to get me clothes.
My grandma thought I was an idiot.
Exactly.
And my cousin Christina always got books. Like she was the smart one.
Exactly. It's a grass is greener. It is. It's totally a grass is greener situation for sure.
All
but
this
man,
conversation is teaching me is that like it's got to be impossible to raise girls.
Oh, impossible. I have a question for you. When speaking of like things you would get for Christmas, my dad could get me an outfit, like clothes. He could buy me clothes and I'm like, yes. And I would love it no matter what. Like my dad could pick out clothes for me. My mom, who dresses impeccably, looks amazing all the time. She'd pick out shit for me and I'm like, Thanks. Like,
was it just because you had very different styles, or was it bad?
It just was never anything that I would wear. You know what I mean? Like, my dad just got my style more. Do you have, like, did that ever happen with you? Like, somebody who just got your style much more?
My parents never bought, like, we had, like, a back to school budget, but even that, we went to private school. So, wore uniforms. So, like,
yeah, I feel like
most of our stuff was, like, hand-me-downs or whatever, but it wasn't such a big thing because everybody at school wore the same thing, which, by the way, I definitely recommend. Like, honestly, as being, like, somebody that was super, super fucking poor going to, like, a private school, like, the fact that I could wear a uniform and at least blend in and not stand out as not being able to afford Abercrombie or Hollister mm-hmm. or all that stuff.
Oh, my God.
Took one anxiety off my plate. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Is Hollister still are those stores still around? Are they?
Yeah. They're owned by Limited Brands, which is in Columbus.
I am very surprised by that because I don't see anybody wearing those brands anymore. I also don't see anybody.
We don't hang out with a lot of 13, 14, 15 year olds. So.
Well, but are they even wearing that? Because I feel like I would still see it on like TikTok, Instagram, etc. I don't see any of that shit. Like when I was a kid, like Abercrombie, wearing something that actually said Abercrombie or Hollister on like across the boobs was like a big deal.
Right.
You know, and I don't see that stuff at all. Like my first two-piece swimsuit was from Limited 2. And it was like, I was like 11 and it was like a big deal that it said Limited 2 on it. You know? Like, but maybe that was also the time like brands like
you don't see that in general anymore, right? Deal. Like you don't see Tommy Hilfiger. I mean, obviously Tommy Hilfiger is still a thing, but you don't see it like written across a t-shirt anymore. Yeah,
maybe it was the time. I don't
know. Yeah. I feel like it's cooler now to not show the brand. Also,
what was cooler then? They brainwashed us into thinking that we should be doing your advertising for you. This is some bullshit. I'm spending $55 on a polo t-shirt and I'm advertising for you. Go fuck yourself.
Also,
and I'll do it proudly.
Do you guys ever think whenever I pass like a Hollister or an Abercrombie in a mall, like
smells so intense.
It smells like teenage pregnancy to me.
Ooh, it sure does. It's like the female version of Axe.
As somebody who was pregnant as a teenager, that is not how it smells.
It is the female version of Axe.
It really is
fucking on. And because that was my first perfume that I got. Saved up money to buy it. And it must have smelled atrocious to anyone around.
If there's somebody, because in the mall in Springfield where I'm from, the Hollister, first of all, like looked like, I don't know what they were doing. There was so much bamboo involved. Like it looked like a tiki hut or something. Like I don't know what was happening there.
Yes.
And the entrance in this mall in the middle of the Midwest. And then I don't know if they... Hollister was kind of like catty corner from Abercrombie. So if you crossed that intersection, the colliding, clashing scents from these two institutions, it was horrifying. And I don't know if somebody was sitting there, did they hire some 14-year-old to like...
Yeah, they always had people.
They had to. They had they hired like 14-year-olds to like just stand there. And also, fuck, marry, kill. Abercrombie, American Eagle, Hollister.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus. Kill, kill, kill.
Oof.
Yeah, okay. Kathy, I'm like, that's got to be impossible for you because I know you, Fort Hayes girl. You hate
I know
it,
what I'm gonna
all
do.
Of it. All
I
of it.
I know what I'm going to do. I do. Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
Personally, I would have gone honorable mention PacSun.
Because Cassie might have married that one.
That one would have felt like fucking a surfer from California. So, but if we're doing American Eagle, Hollister, and Abercrombie, I am going to fuck Hollister.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's like, feels like I'm fucking too low.
It's terrible.
Like, I can't fuck somebody younger than me.
It's terrible, but you got to go with it. You got to roll with it. I'm going to fuck Hollister.
This is 13-year-old. Let's age it up. 15-year-old you. 15-year-old
you. I'm putting myself back in high school. Okay. Like, I mean, to be honest, I was a Hot Topic girl myself. Same. I would not have fucked any of these.
No. Forever 21 and Hot Topic all day.
But for the sake of this argument.
Yeah.
Do you remember Dots?
Yes. What was that? What was that one? Cassie, do you remember Rave?
Yes.
Oh, we had a rave.
Girl, do you remember 579?
Yeah.
The only place I could find a double zero.
Oh, God. 579. 579 was prom dresses. Whoa.
Deb. Do you remember Deb?
Everything was satin. Like, yes. Oh, my God.
And it had like corset bejeweled, back. Bejeweled, like slightly bejeweled, like what a little nightmare. Crystals.
So many appliques. Ugh. Like, terrible.
Who
oh
decided
my God, terrible.
That gems on the jean pockets okay. was a good idea? And then so applied it to those. The guys thing.
Stop.
I had so horrible. Many jeans that had the more shit that was on my jeans. I bought a pair of jeans that had patches on them, like you bought them like that. Where it was no. like, it's supposed to look like you had holes in your patches. And then it was like a Dolly Parton song. And there were just like fucking quilted sections.
Quilted jeans. You remember that? You would have like different patches shit, of like yes. jeans.
Horrifying.
Patches horrible. Were in for a second. I know exactly when patches were in because that was my kleptomaniac period ooh. Of time when I was stealing shit. Because I feel like players. Every woman goes through a klepto mm-hmm. phase. And I'm like, mm-hmm. for me, it was seventh grade and I would steal fucking so much shit from Claire's and from Hot Topic oh, and stuff like sure. that. And I would steal patches because patches were in.
I feel like Claire's let you steal things. Like, I feel like right. they knew what was happening and they were just like, go on, my child. Tis a rite of passage. You know what I mean? Like,
take those. Like, take those. Cubic zirconia this is earrings. Fine.
Yeah, yeah. You know, for me, and I didn't steal them, but like for me, whenever I was in high school, it was buttons. Buttons mm. were the big thing. Mm-hmm. And I still have like a shit ton of my buttons that I would like I just buttons. Pin to stuff. I love them too.
Oh my God. Can you do a YouTube where you unbox them when you go home?
Please. Well, when I go home, I have some of them at home still. I mean, I have some of them in my apartment here. But when I go home, I am going to bring home all of my notes from high school because I know where they are if my mom hasn't moved them. So I'm going to bring all of those home and get ready for some quality content.
I am wow. so ready for high school.
I feel like I should
Keegan.
Read some of my letters that I have.
You should. I mean, listen, high school Keegan was a full mess. It was a nightmare situation.
I have high school poems.
Oh, God. You know what? I do too. Oh, shit.
I have a couple.
Poetry corner with my worst saying.
Oh, no. Oh, it was bad.
Oh, no.
Oh, it was so bad.
I don't know.
My mom said it was good, but she was probably lying.
Oh, mom. Oh, no. All right. Fuck,
okay,
Mary Kill.
Sorry. Back on track. Okay. So, yeah. I'm going to fuck Hollister.
Okay.
Because okay. I feel like of all of
it's
them.
It's the sexiest.
Hollister is the sexiest.
Teenage mm-hmm. sexiest.
Yes. Ugh. For sure. Blech. I mean, there's definitely, it's definitely a guy with frosted tips and a puka shell necklace.
Of course it is.
It's going to take like at least 4 showers before you wash that smell off of you.
Yeah. Oof. Oh, you're going to smell fully.
His favorite movie is Dude, Where's My Car?
Uh-huh. That's correct. And I would have been into
Pineapple
it
Express.
In middle school, like, by the time I was in high school, I was, like, too cool for Hollister dudes. But when I was in middle school, I would have thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I'm going to go with that. I am going to marry American Eagle. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, if you buy a pair of jeans from American Eagle, that shit is going to last you for a long time. Yeah. Like,
it's
say what
sturdy.
You want. They're sturdy. They're solid. You got a good foundation with American Eagle. You can buy a pair of mom jeans that are going to fit well and they're going to make it through like the next, like, you know, 4 to 5 years. So you're good there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to marry American Eagle. I'm going to kill Abercrombie because Abercrombie was... I feel triggered by Abercrombie.
Clearly, I do too. I'm actually getting angry talking about
yeah,
Abercrombie.
I feel warm. I feel like I'm sweating. Like my face is getting hot.
Wow.
Like Abercrombie was the source of so much angst for me. And by the time I got into high school and I was fully into my goth Hello Kitty, like, you know, Hot Topic phase, Abercrombie and people who wore Abercrombie, they represented everything mm-hmm. that I didn't want to represent. So
you were
I
like,
have,
I want to be anti this.
Yes. So I have mm-hmm. a lot of animosity towards Abercrombie.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and just take them out. We're going to take them out. They don't need to exist.
Well, I feel like Abercrombie is the live, laugh, love of the group.
For teenagers. Yes. For
teenagers. Yeah.
Everyone I went to high school with who rocked nothing but Abercrombie, those women, they all have live, laugh, love.
Yep.
In their houses now. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I have to be the same as you, and I'm going to kill Abercrombie. I am going to marry Hollister.
Oh, there, what? Of course
there
you are.
Is a little bit of a danger. There's a little bit of a, I don't know why there's a little bit of a bad boy vibe to Hollister.
Hollister, of these three, Hollister is the most like, maybe a skater boy might actually step foot into a Hollister, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like, he might deny it, but there would be stuff in there that he would be somewhat interested in.
He might pick up something cool that was Hollister that was like at the Goodwill. Like, you know what I mean? From a couple seasons back. So like Hollister, I feel like is somebody that I'm just like, we would, I don't know. There's just something bad boyish about
you,
it.
You, Christina, you insist on choosing
I know.
The one that is going to ruin your life.
Every time.
I've learned nothing.
You're like, you've learned nothing. She's like, can I take care of you for the rest of your life?
Yeah. Are you still living in your mother's basement? I'm sold. I'm perfect. Into it.
Do you need me to pay your bills?
Do you have a job to fund your music career?
I'm here for it.
Oh, it's your dream to own
Hollister
a van?
Plays bass.
Yes. Oh, God damn. Christina.
I know. Like,
I'm a little concerned.
I know. The heart wants what it wants.
Yeah.
And American Eagle, you know what? I'm gonna fuck American Eagle. I am. Mm-hmm. It's sturdy, solid
as
a
rock. The apple
pie
here.
You know? I'm just like, I feel like we could grab a few Pabst Blue Ribbons at
Brewskies.
Like a fucking Killers concert and just
some
fucking go
with
to
the Brewskies.
Town. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you would date American Eagle. That's what would happen. You would date American Eagle and then you would
I'd
cheat on
bored.
Him with Hollister.
Exactly. Keegan. Oh my God, it's like you know me. You're in my head right now.
Wow. Well, I hate all of this. And as a teenager who would never buy anything off the rack at all. I mean, like, honestly, me as a teenager, I was
Goodwill
full on thrift store.
All the way. Same.
I mean,
same.
I wore men's corduroy jeans with a, you know, chain wallet and a, you know, like a, you know, what are the white shirts with the, what are those called? The thermal shirts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With like a band concert mm-hmm. t-shirt over it. Like, that was my wardrobe. Like, that was my absolute wardrobe. I was probably the cheapest teenager you could have ever had because I never was somebody, even, I will tell you, even at, when it came to prom, my very first prom, I was a freshman and it was a thrift store dress and I got 1,000 compliments on it. And I went, even my junior year, I borrowed my friends because we went to two different proms. So, and homecomings. And so I wore her one homecoming dress to my home prom. And then we switched off. I mean, this is so not me, but okay. So if I got to come to it, here's what I'll say. I am going to marry Abercrombie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And here's why.
What?
Because
I'm
think
appalled.
Well, they're a Columbus company, and so I'm, you know, down for my hometown heroes, Hollister too. But here's the thing. I think that they have good quality things. I bought my son Minnie an Abercrombie item mm-hmm. that lasted him almost his entire high school career. And probably still could own them if he was the same size as he was in high school because the quality was great.
You're right about that. Yeah.
He is going to be a banker when he's older. Mm-hmm. I do feel there's part of me that he's going to turn into American Psycho with a real thick like business card. But I'm going to take my chances and take my money and run at some point. I am going to...
I like it
to...
that you picked the one most likely to murder you, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I'm leaving. Notice I'm leaving that. I'm going to fuck Hollister, even though I don't want to, even though I feel like it skews a little too young for me. I'm going to have that one wild night and walk away and probably have sand in my ass crack for a month.
Hollister fucks on the beach for sure.
Oh, it's going to be uncomfortable. I'm actually probably not going to even enjoy it. And I'm just going to, but it's going
to try to like finger you in a hot tub.
Oh,
you know, and you're like,
he's going to try to fuck me in a hot tub. And I'm going to be like, work. No, this isn't comfortable.
I've had sex in a hot tub.
I know, it's not fun.
It's not great. No.
It's not fun. Having sex in a body of water just period is...
And then I'm going to kill American Eagle, and here's why. That is, if we're... It is the most Applebee's, jacked up truck, pick 'em up truck shit ever. I'm sorry. You're like, right. I think of American Eagle as like... I think of it as that.
The Chili's.
Leave it there.
It's not even
as
good
as Chili's. It's, yeah, it is. It's kind of like Cheddar's. What's up?
I feel like, oh, first of all, I love Cheddar's. So there's that. But I feel like I had a different relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were different times, right? Yeah, different ages.
Yeah. I think, like, I had a different relationship with American Eagle. Like, American Eagle was kind of like more expensive. Like, okay.
I think Abercrombie was the most expensive for sure.
Did you guys ever have a buckle?
Yes. Buckle.
I feel like for me, American Eagle was close. Whenever I was in school, American Eagle leaned more buckle aesthetic, whereas like Hollister and Abercrombie were more similarly like preppy aesthetic, you know? I don't know. But I respect your opinion. I will say I got triggered when you said you were going to marry Abercrombie. But I understand where you're coming from.
It was tough for me. I'm not going to lie, because I hate all of them. I hate them all.
Yeah, same as a 13-year-old. It was everything I aspired to be. It seemed like the pinnacle of success. And now at 38, I'm just like,
it's so funny. It just wasn't me, but I was
more time being an individual.
I think that there is. See, this is where, like, being zennial, we kind of fall in that middle. This is that real true Gen X of me. Like, my fashion style, the music I was listening to, that part of me is very Gen X-y in that way, which is that it was very anti-establishment. It was very like, you're not going to sell me your fancy clothes with names on it bullshit. We're going to, like, I'm just going to look as dowdy and crap. And then the thing was, too, is what is so funny is, like, you see, like, fashion labels who are trying to, like, basically emulate shit that you would get at the thrift store and make it popular. You know what I mean? Like, like thermal shirts and, like, plaid, you know, like
everything in Kanye West's line is like, looks like it rolled around in dirt and got cut up. But I feel like a very old lady saying that. That's what my grandma used to say about my patchwork jeans. So,
yeah, no, we all get old and age out of fashion. But yeah, like, for me, I just, as somebody that just wanted so badly to just fit in. And part of that, too, is the whole, like, just the way that I look different, too. I think that was part of it, was that...
That was me in middle school for sure. Yeah, where slick back ponytails and wearing my friend's hand-me-down Abercrombies because we couldn't afford our own. Mm-hmm. I had a friend whose parents were divorced and they would both buy her stuff. And so she ended up with like an excess of clothes. And so she would give them to me. Mm. And so it was like the only Abercrombie I ever owned in middle school whenever I was still like trying really hard to fit in. And I was like, oh, thank God I have like this one item of clothing. It was like a polo shirt that was blue striped. Oh, my God. I remember exactly what it looked like.
I think that that's my point. It's not that I'm saying that there's anything wrong with it. I just feel very lucky that when fitting in really was actually like anti, you know what I mean? Like you were actually not cool if you were trying.
You went to an alternative high school.
I mean, I did and didn't. Like my regular high school I went to for 2 years, and then I went to the joint vocational school, which was cosmetology school, and then I had to wear a uniform. But when I didn't, ask me how many times I had to turn a shirt that said something inside out. They're like, you can't wear that. And I had to fucking t-shirt that was like from a baseball league, and it was like grandma's ice cream, and it said lick it and love it on the back. And the number of times I had to turn that shirt inside out.
Not today, not in the Midwest. We don't do that here. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. We don't do that here. Okay, well, that was a fun one. Actually, that took me straight down a walk down memory lane. I'm having a lot of recovered memories that I'm going to have to suppress later. Going to have to stomp those down. But we have a new patron.
Yes.
So I want to give a big shout out to Donna Harrison. Welcome to our Patreon family. We are so excited to have you. If you have suggestions for anything that you want us to put up on Patreon, if there are questions that you want answered, we haven't done an Ask Me Anything on Patreon in a while. So if you have any questions that you would like to ask us, we would love to answer them. You know where to find us. Send us an email, hit us up on Patreon, and we will have your rewards out to you soon.
Soon, soon.
Also, this is My Worst Date podcast. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie.
Hi.
Hey.
You guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Sounds good.
Yes. And we're back.
Yeah.
All right, Cass.
All right. I'm going to lead us off with stories. So this story came to us from an email, and I'm not going to lie, I super fucking love it. It's pretty fucking hilarious. All right. As a serial monogamist, I have no one off bad date experiences. Instead, I glued myself to men and made multiple attempts to polish turds.
Hi.
Call me a dung beetle because I rolled this one around for a while.
Look, I'm the same way. It's like if I make a bad choice, I'm committed to that bad choice forever. A while.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I was in my mid-20s and was tired of dating man-children. I latched on to this guy because he was smart, tall, owned multiple pairs of pants. Things
owned multiple pairs of pants. The bar is on the floor.
I love it. Things seemed good at the start, and I felt like I was finally in an adult relationship. Boy, howdy, was I wrong. I didn't know what nagging was at the time, so I thought he was just poking fun at me. Every time he would throw out one of these, quote, jokes, he would do it in a baby voice to soften the blow.
Ew.
Okay, you've just combined two things that I don't like.
Yep.
So you've combined nagging, which is some bullshit.
Yep.
I wonder what year this story took place, because that feels very much pickup artist-y. Like they watched that show and they were like, this is what you do to get women. And then two, you're nagging me in a baby voice?
Okay.
Right? No, no, sir.
I don't like that at all. Like it's actually taken me quite some time to get used to like how much Eric compliments me. Where I'm like, aww, what do you want?
Oh my God, you're me. It's stop being me.
So
be Christina.
Weird.
Stop
it's
being
so
me.
It's so weird because I'm just like, oh, people are actually nice. But yeah, that's the whole
that's
like
awesome.
2000s. We're so accustomed to people negging. It's so weird.
Since I was naive, I thought he was giving me constructive criticism to make me into a better person.
All right. Again, sorry to keep interrupting you. I don't need your constructive criticism, sir. That is not what I'm in this relationship for. There's a way to like have a relationship where you can make each other better and have conversations and like grow together. But anybody who's like giving, what is this? Like a project review? Like, I don't need your constructive criticism.
Right. Right.
I hate that. I wouldn't like that even if that was what he was doing.
A performance review.
Yes.
About 6 months into dating, his dad came from out of town to visit and invited us to dinner. At the time, I was dyeing my hair fun colors and had let it fade from a bright blue to a seafoam green. Not exactly professional, I know, but I figured it would be totally okay to meet this man. I mean, he dated girls younger than me from what my boyfriend told me.
I'm about to get mad. I know it. I feel it in my soul.
About a week before we were going to meet him, my boyfriend whips out the baby voice and says, he'd appreciate it if I dyed my hair normal because I looked immature and trashy. And his dad was,
trashy?
Quote, kind of conservative. Proof that I did. Oh, she did send a picture, by the way. And it is not trashy at all. It's super cute.
Also, like, I'm not dating your dad. I'm dating you.
Okay.
So maybe be a big boy and stand up for your choices. If you like somebody, I would never ask someone to change who they are. Like,
Also, yeah, that's just the key, that he's low-key thinking that. Because that's, right. that's the that's thing, exactly is right. if he loved it, he wouldn't
fucking give a shit.
Say dick. He would stand up for her to his dad.
That's but right. obviously, he's using his dad as an excuse. Having those
feelings. He's, yeah. Exactly.
My dumbass went along with it and spent the fucking salon money, which I take total offense to as a salon person, as a hairstylist, worth it. We are worth our money.
No, but it's not that. It's that to please like, him and this is not money that she would have put out because right. that shit isn't cheap.
No.
And I'm not saying it should be cheap. I'm just mm-hmm. saying that like if you're going to put out that kind of money, if I as a grown ass fucking woman, if I'm putting out that kind of money, I'm getting what I want. Period. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like I'm getting what mm-hmm. I want. I don't give a fuck what you True. Want because I'm going to leave here spending over $100. So I'm getting what I want. Like that's that.
Well, this kind of thing went on for a while and I started getting fed up. Being a hard-headed person, though, I kept dating him, but it got grumpier and grumpier. He must have picked up on this because not long after, he told me he was ready to open up to me about something serious.
Okay. Mm.
He went to his dresser, pulled out a box from his drawer that he had always hidden from
no.
me.
No.
He said this was a part of him he didn't share with everyone.
Okay, because- first and foremost, I gotta say for a fucking fact, if you had a dresser or a drawer in my place, if we were sharing a place and you were like, I don't share this with anybody, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I opened that shit the first day you moved in.
I already saw it.
Man. Already texted all my friends about what it means. I'm pictures. Sorry. I'm nosy as a motherfucker.
Same. You ain't got private shit.
See, I wouldn't do it.
I would. This is a private part of him that he doesn't share with everyone because not a lot of people would understand. So I was special. He opened it up. And at first, I was confused. I thought, huh, I had one of those when I was growing up. When I was 5, it was a My Little Pony horse. Turns out.
That's not what I was expecting.
Nope. Turns out my man was a brony.
No.
He had toys, posters, memorabilia from conventions, etc.
And he should have liked the seafoam green hair. I don't understand.
I kind of sat there all dumb for a while. He said most people wouldn't understand being a compassionate person that I tried to be. I wanted to support him. And being the idiot that I was, I figured he had poked fun at me being because he had this secret. So all this time, he's like been nagging her about every little thing because he's got this little brony secret. Hey,
that sounds like your problem.
Right.
Sir.
And now we would be happier and live in a rainbow happy land just like the ponies did.
No.
Well, yeah. No, that didn't happen. As nope. you can imagine, the nagging kept happening. And at one point, I had had enough. I broke up with him, but had to live together for another 2 months before Ooh. I could finally move
oh,
out.
Oh, that's the worst.
Ugh. Around the time we split up, I started a new job, started to build a circle of close girlfriends that have been had my back and would not let me repeat this mistake again. This rant has gone on long enough and I'm out of wine. So the end. Thanks for reading my story. And I'm sure I'll be fueled up for more soon. You guys are rad. And I'm happy to I've become a patron. I started at the beginning of the podcast and making my way to the present. It's been a real treat. I listened to you while playing Animal Crossing to make it through Aww. This year.
I love and Animal now, Crossing.
And now I associate that game with murder and shame receipts. Thank you for all the laughs.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my God. Okay. And I do want to clarify. Look, like what you like.
Thank you.
Do exactly. what you do. If you're yep. if you're into My Little Pony and like that's your thing, you're not hurting anybody.
No.
Nope.
Do what you want. But you're not allowed to use your deep-seated insecurities to put somebody else down ever. Amen. Just own your shit.
Yeah.
Own your shit.
And also, and like, question. You're not as weird or unique as you think you are. Dude, we Truth. Were watching. We were re-watching Schitt's Creek. Last it. Night before bed because I'm getting ready for season 6 to drop on Netflix. And
when is that dropping? Sorry, sidebar.
Oh my God. Know? I don't remember yeah, off the top of my head because I'm so ready for it. I fucking Me love too. That show. It's my favorite show. And Alexis at one point in like season 3 or whatever is like tells David, nobody cares about you as much as you think they do. And it's such a fucking life lesson. And it's like, your deep-seated secret about liking My Little Pony isn't that interesting or that deep.
No, you're right. Like, that's the thing. This is something that a friend told me, speaking of kleptomania. I'm not gonna out her, but she was saying that because she was going through her klepto phase, and I was like, aren't you like nervous or whatever? And she's like, here's the thing. No one is ever you think people are looking at you all the time. No one is ever looking at you. Mm-hmm. Everyone is so concerned about who is looking at them. It's the same thing like when you're in a yoga class. Like, you're so worried that you're doing something wrong and people are judging you. But 9 times out of 10, everyone in that class
feels the same way you do.
The same way. Yep. And they're so focused on themselves that nobody is paying attention to you, sir.
No one.
They don't care.
And you deep-seated brony.
Right.
Like no one cares,
honestly. I mean, and there's a whole documentary about it, so you're not that unique. I know,
obviously. The funny thing is, too, is that, like, so you have, like, it's a secret that you go to conventions? Like, how do you how are you hiding all this? Like,
yeah, he keeps them in a private folder on his desktop.
But how is he
never
going?
Posts them anywhere. Or he has a secret Facebook page.
How is he going to a convention without, like, people knowing?
He's like, he has a work conference.
Yep.
I was just going to say, and there's like a folder on his desktop. This is like taxes 2017.
Yes.
All right. This one I got from Reddit, and it says, years ago, I got invited to attend a workmate's wedding.
Okay. I love fucking wedding stories on Reddit. Oh, this
love
the best.
I love it.
Oh, it was the best.
As I was single at the time, but didn't really want to attend the solo, I thought I'd bring a date. So, Keegan, want to know what you think of somebody that brought this date to your wedding.
I can't wait.
Keep this in mind.
Okay. Yes. Keeping it in mind.
Couple weeks before this, I met this banging chick at a party. We hooked up a couple of times. So, hey, wanna come?
Also, okay, question for you guys. If you had just slept with a guy a couple times and he asked you to go to a wedding with him, would you go?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Depends on how good the sex is.
That's loaded. Here's flip side.
I love
the coin.
Dressing
if
up.
I really do too.
If I had slept with a guy a couple of times, and I was invited to go to a wedding, I would not bring them. You know what I mean? So I'm just it's a poor choice on the person's part. If you just slept with somebody for like a couple of times and you're going to bring them to somebody's life changing, really important moment.
Yeah, you don't know them like that. Like,
have you been out drinking with this person?
People get weird at weddings too. Yeah. Like, people get real weird. People's insecurities come up at weddings and things like that. So, okay, continue. Sorry.
We arrived there in the evening, all dressed up, and the first thing she did was go in a straight line to the bar for some white wine.
I mean, okay. I can't judge her. I probably would be doing that. I don't know anybody. Got social anxiety, okay? Like, I'm like, I'm going to get a little loose.
She downed the first glass in one go, along with something else. She apparently brought her stash of drugs along and began popping pills left and right.
Oh, no.
All with copious amounts of white wine.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Did she die?
Dude.
Good question.
I'm just, if I'm watching somebody do this at somebody, like a friend of mine invited me to a wedding and I brought a friend, my anxiety would be through the roof because watching them do this and I'm like,
you're not at a wedding anymore.
I don't know this person and I don't know what the fuck they're going to do at this point. Yeah, exactly. You're on date watch.
Here's the thing. I'm not here to drug shame anybody. Like, no. There are lots of people who take drugs recreationally.
Yeah,
and
I mean, we're going to take shit at your wedding.
That's the plan.
Doy.
However, it's not, just full disclaimer, in case I have family listening.
In case, yeah.
But I'm not here to whatever. But you can't. Drugs are unpredictable.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
You can't do it at an event like this, and you certainly can't do it mixing it with alcohol. I'm going to sidebar really fast because this triggered a memory.
No, cocaine.
No.
No. Kicking.
No.
Kicking.
So whenever I was at the, when I went and did like the first venue tour for my wedding venue, and we were talking to the guy who was like the event manager or whatever, and he was telling us, he was like, you guys, he was really cool. He was like not a regular event planner. He was like a cool event planner. You know what I mean? And so he was basically like, he's like, yeah, man, like you guys can do whatever you want. Just like if things get too crazy, you know, we're going to have to shut shit down. And so I was like, well, give me an example of a time when things got really crazy. Yes. And he was like, there was one wedding that I worked at where the maid of honor,
I can't wait.
The maid of honor took shrooms before the ceremony.
No.
She took shrooms before the ceremony and then got so fucked up that the bride, she freaked out. She had like a complete meltdown. She had to like go upstairs, and then the bride left her own reception to go upstairs.
No.
It's her maid of honor, so it's like her best friend.
Fuck her.
She left. Exactly. I'm like, I'm sorry, this is my wedding. You made a choice to do drugs at my wedding.
Right.
So she went up. She spent the entire night. She missed her whole reception because she was like trip sitting for her best friend. And then they had to call an ambulance.
First of all, that's what I'm talking about. We would never allow you to do that. I don't give a shit if it's okay. Like, you have one bridesmaid who is not like part of our regular friend group because she lives in Springfield. I never in a gazillion years could imagine her being the person that did this.
She would never.
However, you were the closest person to this person. Not one of us girls would allow you to leave your
who was around her that they were like, this is fine, that she's is, and also because it's the venue for my wedding, I know how expensive it is, and I'm like, bitch, if I'm spending this much money on a day, you better believe I'm gonna let you sort that shit out on your
own. In that haunted upstairs, bitch, by yourself.
My venue
Good
is
luck.
Haunted it is. And but anyway,
also, like, I gotta be honest, like, you know, I'm pretty, like, there's just no way if I'm close to somebody that I would even risk something like that. Do you know what I mean? Where I would not want you to have the most perfect day ever. And if I thought for a second, because I have a shame receipt about the wedding. I've talked about the time I almost killed somebody. or maybe you did, we don't know. It was like getting way too drunk on an open bar tequila at a wedding, and I'm like, I ended up in a bathtub in their in-laws' house, and I don't know if I killed somebody. So I'm like, that is what that person has to deal with about their wedding day. They were like, hey, remember when that fucking random chick who just, you know, did this thing? And I'm like, it haunts me to this day. That is a shame receipt.
And I can't imagine that the relationship between that maid of honor and bride recovered. Because I would harbor resentment. Even though it was my choice to go and like be with them, I would harbor resentment for the rest of my life.
Forever.
That they put me in that situation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Because you can't make up for that in any way.
Yeah. Is drugs are an unpredictable choice for an event such as this.
Also,
don't do it.
Do not bring a stranger, because even if you've banged somebody not twice but thrice, you do not know what they're like at a wedding. You don't.
We talked about that holiday party. That story stuck with me, and they've gone on several dates. And that bitch still destroyed that man's like entire work life in one night.
He had to move to a different country and everything.
Lord.
Think twice before you invite somebody to a big fucking event is all we're saying.
Amen.
So
Okay.
So she had her first glass. She popped pills. This already made me uncomfortable, to say the least. As the evening progressed, she began harassing other people at the party. And by doing...
Security.
Exactly.
Listen, groping me constantly, trying to get me to allow her to suck my dick in the middle of the dance floor.
No.
I'm sorry. I Listen, where are we?
No.
Because only once have I ever gone to like a club. Like I went to Booty LA one time and we were dancing and there was a used condom on the floor.
No.
And I was horrified then. So I can't imagine like in front of
your
grandma.
Wedding.
Like all of your great aunts and uncles, like in front of every family member and God, you are going to fuck on the dance floor.
Yep. No, no, no. She's going to get down on her knees.
Oh,
and
oh, I'm sorry. I blocked that part out. That is even worse somehow. Gross. How is that worse?
It is worse. It is worse. It is worse because I feel like you could hike a dress up, hide a lot of sins.
Just look like you're
but
grinding.
You can't fucking hide being on your goddamn knees, sucking a D.
And like, what does she think? Like, he's just going to whip it out. Like, this is fine.
I'm like, she can't help it. You were playing Pony by Genuine.
I just blew the speakers. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
My dog. No way.
I'm fucking crying right now.
No.
Oh, this is horrible. I hate this.
Okay. I went out for a smoke with the groom to apologize and think about how I can salvage this and get her the fuck out of there. When I came back inside, I find her riding this chair elevator thing for elderly / disabled people up and down while shouting profanities at people with a glass in one hand and heels in the other.
I mean, I have to say, listen, she sounds terrible. But if I had not dropped like $20,000 on this event, if I was just a guest at this wedding, would be cracking up.
We would be vacuuming that dance floor.
Oh my God. You guys, we would have champagne flutes just sipping, just watching this bitch go up and down the stairs. It would be amazing.
Also, part of me wants to get on it.
I mean, kind of. You can't have something like that around drunk people and not expect somebody to want to go for a ride. But, I mean, to answer your question, if this was my wedding, that bitch would have been kicked out already.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I have black uncles. They would have kicked her out. Like, they would have kicked her out in the first hour. Come on. Stop.
Riding one of those chair lifts. I can't.
No. I like, what I love is that she's got a drink in one hand and her heels so in the slow. Other because it's so
slow. The thing is just slow.
He says, I picked her up out of the chair, threw her over my shoulder and put her in my car and burned
That's
rubber
so
to get out of there.
It's so embarrassing because now this is what everyone at that wedding thinks of
everyone.
You.
Everyone like, remembers who you only date. That from the wedding, too.
I'm also like, I don't know who she's at. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do you guys a favor and get rid
you
of her, though.
You brought her.
I don't know who you're talking about. I'm going to do you guys a favor. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to go and grab this girl. Mm-hmm. Don't know who she is. I'm just going to get rid of her.
Yep. Dropped her off, told her we weren't seeing each other anymore, and sent a text to the now married couple apologizing profusely for any drama caused.
Oh, there was drama caused. Drama was caused. Oh, man. I mean, look, I mean, I would hate it, but also, like, at least you have a story about your wedding.
The wedding should be the story.
I mean,
it
true,
be
but
some
you're like,
fucking fucked up chick you know, is right. Fucking
better than Shrooms Girl. At least the bride didn't spend all
true.
Of her day, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's somebody that was like drunk riding a chairlift shouting profanities at your grandma.
But that's kind of hilarious. I mean, not if it was at my grandma, because I'm highly protective, but you know. Okay. When I was 22, I decided I was far too grown up and mature to be dating men my own age.
Same girl, same.
As a 31-year-old woman, can I just say LOL? Yes,
yes you can.
Because I feel like we've had a string of stories like this where like young women are like, I need to date someone who has their shit together. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, someone that doesn't have a Crown Royal bag. Like on their nightstand.
They keep shit in their Crown Royal bag. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Maybe or maybe I didn't carry one as a purse. You don't know me.
Get out of my life. Up until this point, I had mostly met prospective suitors the old-fashioned way on MySpace. Tinder was fairly new and I wanted to give it a try. So I adjusted my settings and matched with a good looking 35-year-old. Let's call him Jay. Jay worked in finance and his profile was mostly pictures of him in what looked to my 22-year-old eyes to be very expensive suits. He described himself as, quote, protective and, quote, an alpha male.
Hate it.
I don't like that at all.
Sounds like you're a controlling dickhead who I'm going to have to get a fucking restraining order against later.
That's right. Which I now know is a huge red flag, having grown up romanticizing 90s rom-coms, I didn't think much of it at the time. We didn't chat long before he started insisting we meet in person. He says he's a busy guy and likes to get down to business to determine if the match is a good fit. I kind of understood where he was coming from, so we set a date for that weekend and met up at a very swanky bar in downtown Austin. I was super excited. As a broke college student, I wasn't able to experience the finer things very often, so I pulled out all the stops. I had my girlfriends come over. One of them was going through cosmetology school at the time, and she gave me a full blowout while my other friend did my makeup.
I love that.
It's so cute. Like, she's so excited about this date that she's like, you have to come over and help me get ready. Because she's going somewhere fancy as a 22-year-old. Like, that's so cute. I chose my hottest bandage dress. Hey, 2013.
Yes, Hervé Léger.
And platform heels. I looked hot, if I'm being totally honest.
Yes, you did.
I arrive at the bar 10 minutes early. He's not there yet. No worries. I'll take a seat at the bar and order a cocktail. 10 minutes go by, then 15, then 25. Eventually, a young man who introduces himself as David sits next to me and starts to make small talk. I'm bored, so I start chatting. Not 5 minutes later do I see a hand come down on the dude's shoulder, and there is my date. He does not look happy.
Half an hour late.
The guy leaves and my date sits down in a huff and orders a scotch. No greeting, barely looking at me. I decide to ignore it and just try to enjoy the night. Eventually, he gulps down half his drink. Then he starts to warm up. Now he's all flattery, talking about how beautiful and interesting I am. It's not my fault guys are hanging around me like It's not my fault guys are hanging around me like flies, though he had some disparaging remarks for the man that he scared away. Ugh. I eat up the compliments. I was a fool for flattery, and did I mention I'm 22?
Right. Yeah, I mean, same.
Of course. Yeah. At this point, and this is what I was talking about earlier, at this point, I feel like the date is going swimmingly. This guy is giving me major Mr. Big in Sex and the City energy.
Whoa, yes.
Which I have to say.
At 22?
Yes. I'd be like, okay. It was a thing that was driven home to us that like we were supposed to think like this is the epitome of like hot and sexy. But again, upon rewatching the show, Mr. Big was a piece of shit. Like, he was such an asshole.
Yeah, 38-year-old me, and I think probably the vast majority of people is just like, Carrie, why did you fuck up Aiden?
Thank you.
Why did you end up with Mr. Big at all? Like, he treated you
Aiden
like...
Aiden was the one.
Aiden was the best.
Garbage for the entire, like, portion of your relationship. But anyway, again, I know now that that's not a good thing, but it seemed so grown up and fancy. I understand. We're getting cozier and cozier. I'm about 3 glasses of wine in, and he's got his hand on my leg when it looks like he sees something over my shoulder. He flashes a huge grin and asks if I'll excuse him to the restroom. I say, of course, and he leaves. When he's gone for 5 minutes, I don't think much of it. I order a 4th glass of wine, and I'm feeling tipsy as fuck at that point. When I finish that glass, he still isn't back. It's been a good 20 minutes.
Nah.
I'm starting to get side-eye.
He must have died.
Right? Did you fall in? Classic early 2000s joke. I'm starting to get side eye from the bartender, and I'm sick of trying to save this man's bar stool in a super busy and cramped bar. So I decided to go looking for him. I think we can all We can all empathize with what that's like whenever you're in like a cramped place.
And as someone, and you're trying to save a seat.
With anxiety.
Yeah.
Like the one who's having to be like, I'm sorry, this seat's taken. I'm sorry, you can't sit here. Like, oh, the worst.
Is the seat? Yes, it's taken. I'm sorry.
It's taken. I'm sorry.
He'll be right back. 20 minutes later and you're still, that guy is still eyeing your seat.
That guy's looking at you like, I thought you said you were with somebody. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. I'm squeezing through the crowd. Hard to imagine in COVID times, but there was once a time when people were packed into establishments like sardines. I'm about to give up and go back to the bar when I spot him leaning against the wall with a hot young woman under his arm. They're clearly flirting. She's got her hand on his chest and his face is inches from hers. I'm gobsmacked.
And I'm left.
I watch as he leans in and they start full on making out.
Oh no, honey. Your date. Child.
Fuck you.
That's right.
Drink throw. Drink throw. Drink throw. Drink
I wish.
Throw.
Yeah. Throw. Yeah. Oh yeah. My God. Yeah. I so fucking wish. I felt like I was hit in the face. I stumble back to the bar. By now my seat is taken and I don't know what to do with myself. I'm mortified. My embarrassment quickly turns to anger, though. I push my way to the bar and drunkenly wave the bartender over. I ask what his most expensive scotch is and order 5 shots on Jay's tab.
Yes! Even then, better than a drink throw.
That's right. Then,
unless she throws all those drinks at him.
All the shots. Expensive shots that he paid for. Then I take the shots over to David's table and pass them out to him and his friends. We start chatting and have a good time. And long story short, I leave with David.
And they're married now.
I was way too drunk that night and David didn't do anything but take me home and make sure I was okay. He took my phone and put his number in it and then left. The next day, I'm flooded with messages from an extremely angry Jay. I was too hungover to respond or call him out on his bullshit, so I blocked him on the app and went back to sleep. David texted me later in the day and to make sure that I was okay, and we ended up texting the whole day. He asked me out for the next weekend, and the rest is history. We got engaged and planned a big wedding. But 2020 had other plans. We eloped last month and it was perfect.
Oh my God! Best story ever! Oh my God.
Can we just end here? Because I don't want to ruin this.
It had everything.
Everything.
It had expensive shots charged to a douchebag. True the love. Best part. Everything. Oh, I'm so happy.
That's so sweet. She can thank that fucking asshole because that's fate. Like, isn't it amazing when you think about like the number of things that have to line up in your life for something to happen? Like, if she hadn't like upped her age on Tinder, if she hadn't gone on this date, if they hadn't gone to this bar, she never would have met her husband. That's crazy.
That is wild, incredible. I love everything about that story. My cold COVID heart has grown 4 sizes. So amazing. Great. Well, Cassie, what did you prepare for our crazy love this week?
Okay. So here's what happened. What happened was I lost track of the days. In fact, I forgot to even post our story stuff when it was Wednesday, when it was so that actually is what shook me into, oh shit, I gotta get prepared for a story, because I was like, I got all week. So here's what happened.
Okay.
I was like, I want to do Love Fraud, which is on Showtime, and it's all about this guy who is a fucking total piece of shit who has been like fraud.
I've heard
like
amazing things.
Mm-hmm. I want to watch it so much.
Look, where to fucking even begin? There's a cast of characters. It's numerous middle-aged ladies, one crooked piece of shit, and one badass chain-smoking hustler who is Carla, who is the... She is a...
Bounty hunter?
Yes, bounty hunter. Oh my God.
I've heard a lot about Carla.
Listen, it is 4 full episodes and a lot of time. And I watched it all. And at the end, I was like, I don't even know how to put this together for a story. Mm-hmm. It's really good. I highly recommend to watch. And so it is, it's really good. And it's worth watching for the Robert Durst-esque style interview they have with Dudeface at the end.
Oh, you know I love a fucking good Robert Durst burp. Mm, yep. I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's, I will let you ladies enjoy
that. Did you
that.
See the Jinx?
I watched part of the Jinx.
Ugh, I fucking love the Jinx. Mm-hmm.
This guy, I will tell you, gave me some, like I said, some Robert Durst vibes. And the way that, like, you're like, motherfucker, you ain't telling the truth at all.
It's amazing how people who are so bad at lying get away with it for so long.
It's wild. Like, he's I'll let you guys watch it. I'm not going to spoil anything.
I'm excited.
So that being said, I was then tasked to put something together on a very quickness because I was like, well, I just spent my whole day watching Love Fraud and I am now not doing this as a story. So I went to one of my old faves, which is one of my favorite things to do, which is watch something on Oxygen.
Yes.
When in doubt, Oxygen or ID. They got you, boo. They got you, boo.
You guys, I was on the phone with Spectrum for an hour today because we have high-speed internet with them, and we confirmed the transfer for tomorrow for our move. And I was like, Eric and I had talked about it, and I was like, I need Dateline in my life. How can I stream Dateline? Because I'm like, it is worth it for me to pay something monthly where I'm like, I can watch my Datelines, because I'm like, the amount of time that I spend searching for Crazy in Love, and I'm like, at the end of the day, Dateline will always be there for me.
Don't
and
you it have is the so podcast? Hard to find. Do you not listen to the podcast? They have them, they update them with the show.
I will start doing that because I was on the phone for an hour and I was like, okay, add this package to my internet, my high speed internet.
There should really just be a true crime package that's just Oxygen, ID, whatever channel, Dateline, and 2020 comes on, like 48 hours, whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
and we were like, so we're on the phone for like an hour and they're like, I'm so sorry. Like, so it's going to be an extra $90 a month, which I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Fuck you. Absolutely not.
To get
not.
All the channels that I want.
Girl, no, like, sign actually, into my Spectrum.
We can't do that without, because you're on a special price for your internet, which is like $10. So I'm like, so really you're going to sweat the $10 that I'm saving a month on your high speed internet. And I'm about ready to give you $90 a month. In order to get your fucking TV, and you'd rather turn around to save your $10. I'm like, bye, forget it.
I feel like, why hasn't, and we look at, nobody steal this idea because we're having it first trademarked. TM. Yeah. So why hasn't anyone come up with like an app like Shudder? Like the Shudder app is just horror. Like that's all it is. It's all it's for. It's just like horror movies, horror shows.
For true crime. Right. Yeah.
Why hasn't someone come up with an app like that that's just true crime?
Absolutely.
Like it's, I don't understand. Keegan, people will pay for it.
You Christina. Have legitimately like 4 days before we publish it to make it happen.
Oh, and no.
We're putting this under the umbrella of My Worst Date LLC.
That's right, LLC. So that's hurry up. I mean, I'm scared.
All right, so
okay,
Oxygen, the good old fail safe, and I caught up on some Killer Couples.
Oh my God, I fucking love Killer Couples so much.
So here's
it's so
the thing,
bad but so good.
I typically like to dig deep, so I'm not like telling like the most recent story. Mm-hmm. But I saw that first one, and I was like, "Well, this is what I'm going to tell you guys.
It. This is where we're at."
So, Alan Lantane is from New Brunswick in Canada. He grows up in a small town.
Ellen is his name?
Alan.
Alan. Okay. I was like, Ellen, interesting. Yep. Okay.
This is different. He grew up in a small town in New Brunswick. It's St. John's capital, but it's still kind of a small town. And he decides, you know, when once he turns to adult, that he's going to move to Toronto to be where he can kind of be live his, you know, best life as a gay man. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, living in a small town as a gay man is not nearly as exciting as living in a city where you can be
Toronto
fully accepted.
It's huge. Exactly. I've never been to Toronto, but
You've
it's
never
like,
been?
No, but it's like on my list because I'm cool. Like, Toronto seems like a blast. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like a fun place. It's like it's like a New York for Canada, right? Like a New York City situation? Ish? No?
Yeah.
Wow, it was the most unconvincing yeah I've ever
heard. Sure. I mean, yes, it has a city feel to it. It's so hard to compare anything to New York. I see what you're saying. Toronto is a cool city. It has got a lot of really cool stuff, and there's a lot to do. I will tell you that actually one of my favorites, I have so many cities I love it in mm-hmm. Canada. I will tell you, I really liked Ottawa and I know that people will be like, what? But it's the capital city and I love capital cities and I loved Montreal. Like, I think Montreal is just such different. It's so special. I don't know. Anyway,
I can't wait to travel again. Long story short.
I know this is where I'm at. Okay. So anyway. So he is, you know, moved there again to be in a place that he could be more accepted in the gay community. This is kind of where he flourished. There he worked his way up in the hospitality restaurant world. He, you know, went from anything from like catering to waiting tables, and he worked his way up into like kind of landed a really cool position as an accountant for the restaurant chain that he had been working for. So it kind of reminds me of Christina a little bit, like has worked their way up mm-hmm. from, you know, being a server through
Which
the whole
I will
thing.
Say
I love that.
And it's hard to do because I it feel is. Like so often companies try to Overlook. Hire outside mm-hmm. and they don't want to, for whatever reason, they don't want to like move people up from inside. So
well,
it is a big deal.
There's such a negative connotation towards people in the service industry in quote unquote real jobs that it's, I wish know. If we talked about nothing but periods in this on our mm-hmm. podcast, I'd be super happy.
We would still have just as much content
because it does. It makes me angry because I feel like people that work in the service industry have to be problem solvers in the moment. They have to.
Oh, yeah?
There's so many skills that they have to learn that would make them so amazing in an incredible amount of jobs. And yet mm-hmm. the second someone sees a server as the last thing on someone's resume, it gets thrown into the garbage bin and it's classist. I think
well,
it's classist.
It absolutely
Hugely.
Is. Weirdly, I feel like the United States doesn't value practical experience at all as much mm-hmm. as they value like a piece of paper from a university. Because
right.
it's
Which is
like,
ridiculous.
I mean, it is ridiculous because it's like a lot of people in a lot of jobs, every job you have brings you a new skill set.
And
right?
having said that too, I will tell you, it's much different to live an experience of creating a quick math solution to something in real life versus reading it on a piece of paper.
Right.
It is so different. Having just took a test today with multiple like yeah. word problem, math quit problems, I was like, wait, I'm really good at math. Why is this stumping me?
Some
and it's just like
incredible.
In real life, I'm really quick and logical and fast and solution
That's
driven
right.
and I'm able to come up. But like so many of them, I was like, wait, why am I stopping to think about this? Because I have to like kind of process it.
Very smart people are not good at testing, which is what determines your success in a right. large part. So
well,
I know
and
we're
also,
off
tra- also but- money. Money,
yes.
money, money.
Yes.
Eat the rich.
Money, money, money.
Anyways.
Hashtag eat the rich.
So he's worked his way up to a successful career as an accountant for this restaurant chain. In 2004, at 46 years old, he meets his like dream guy.
I love that.
29-year-old Dimitri Papasatoru.
I'm not going to love it for very long, I'm sure. But I love it that he's 46 and he met his it can happen
for
you.
He met his match. Dimitri, who's originally from Greece, had moved to Canada and became an attorney. He is extremely smart. They talk about, like, one of the guys on the show was, like, saying, like, he was had, like, degrees by the time he was 16. Like, his guy Oof. Was insanely smart. Like, he was, or, like, had graduated by the time he was 16. Something wild. Like, intelligent beyond
Got
belief,
a Doogie
right?
Howser. All right.
A real Doogie Howser, exactly. After only about 4 months of them dating, they got married. They were like, this is it. you're the one. Here we go. I'm in love. They get married. They settle down into an apartment, like in an up and coming neighborhood in Toronto. And they're super happy. And they're, you know, they're taking their time. They're putting together their house. They're renovating because this is an up and coming area. They're spending, you know, their time and money to really renovate this place and make the space their own. During this time, he actually, Alan loses his job. Well, doesn't lose his job. What happens is they downsize his job. So he's making quite a reduced amount of money, right? Ugh. So this is like, we're talking like around 2008-ish,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know how it affected Canada, no, but the recession in the United States.
Yeah. Yes, it did. And it really impacted the restaurant industry. So yeah, that makes sense.
Definitely. Well, and so at that time, you know, that's exactly what's happening. And so he's having to take on like secondary jobs just to make bills, like make payments and just to be able to make buy, you know, as it is. And also, you know, so besides like taking some catering gigs, he also gets a job with the university, like doing accounting for them. So he's doing okay, but it's not like he's not feeling like he was when he was able to just kind of have this one career and really solid, right?
Yep.
Also at that time in 2008, Dimitri, his husband, is, like I said, he's quite the squalor. Wow.
Quite the squalor.
The scholar. And he gets an opportunity to get a PhD in law studying in Switzerland, in Lucerne, at the school there. So,
fancy.
Yeah, no big deal. That's how smart this motherfucker is.
Do you know how fast I would leave to go to Switzerland if somebody was like, we have an opportunity for you? I'd be like, deuces, goodbye. Yeah.
As soon as you said, I have a, and I'd be like, I'm out.
Yeah, it would be like one of those cartoons where it's just like...
just dust?
Dust.
Yeah, before things get real handmaidy around here.
It's coming.
Yeah, I'll take Switzerland any day. Ready? Let's go. Alan, though, he decided to stay in Toronto because, you know, again, they're renovating their home. You know, he wants to be there to oversee these renovations on their home. And this is like 4 years into their marriage. And the whole plan was for Dimitri to go overseas for his studies and return to Toronto to work in Canada. Right. So his plan is go there, do that, do your thing, get your degree, come back, earn your money, right? Because he's
going to build a life here.
Right. That was his whole plan, is he's building a life together.
Somehow I feel like this is going to go awry.
Okay. I can't wait for you to find out how. 2011, it's March. Alan's good friend hasn't heard from him for a few days and reaches out to his work. They haven't heard from him either. So she's concerned. So she goes to the house. No one's responding. So she calls the police and she's like, wait a second. Hi, my friend who always responds to me. I haven't heard from him in a few days. This is very suspect.
Good friend.
So, yes. Great friend.
Yes. So, that's what you should expect from your friend.
That's exactly right.
I need everyone to stop. Examine your friend group right now. If you have to pause this podcast, do it. Mm-hmm. Examine your friend group and see which amongst your friends would call somebody if they hadn't heard from you in a couple of days.
Yeah.
And if the answer is none of your friends, then you need to drop all of those people and get new friends.
Get you some new friends.
Your friends should care enough about you that they are all up in your shit. I mean, not completely, but to the point where, like, if they haven't heard from you in a certain amount of time, that they will alert somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Most definitely. There was definitely times where I was like, Christina, I'm about to cross over the hill.
We had full on, like,
I'm getting in my car.
All of us girls, this is not hyperbole. No. Like, all of us girls had a text thread. Mm-hmm. There was, I think, two times where that text thread was used where we were like, who's heard from Christina? She had a date last night. I haven't heard from her since 7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. We're concerned. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And as much as you don't want your
friend... And if you don't answer that safety check, and I'm talking like soon. And how many times, Christina, tell it truthfully, did I, when I was like safety check and you're like, I'm fine, did I, was I like, oh, really?
Follow up question.
That's right. I mean, honestly, I don't think that it is, some people might think that it's extreme, but I don't think it's too extreme to have a conversation with your girlfriends and to develop a safety word. Do you know how many conversations Anthony and I have had about like developing a safety word? For like if you're in a situation where you need help but you don't feel like safe to say that you need help.
Oh yeah, like Eric and I have one, but then again we've been watching multiple seasons of Criminal Minds.
So much Criminal Minds.
That's right.
Girl same. My dreams are Criminal Minds now, honestly. It's wild.
I marry Reed in my dreams and things are great.
I'm at the, I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Anyway.
Fuck them.
This show's
been on forever. Like, but I'm at the he's in prison season right now. So
I don't love it. I'm at minus Derek Morgan season.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So you're right. Wait, how did I pass you? Neck and neck.
Yeah. Moving.
Oh, are you moving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, all right. You can't just spend all your time watching Criminal Minds. Okay. Well, fine.
Okay, cool. Cool. All right. What, you at like work? Cool. Must be nice. Rub it in. Anyway, so the police do show up. They come to his house. Nobody's answering the doors. And they're like, okay, like, honestly, this seems like a problem. And so they decide that they're going to actually break into the home to make sure that Alan is not like, see what's going on. They find Alan deceased immediately. They break into the back door. They find him on the floor by the front door with injuries to the back of his head. Wounds initially seem to indicate bludgeoning. It is quickly determined it was foul play and the cause of death was blunt force trauma. Ugh. There is no evidence of a forced entry nor robbery. So like, you know, the police are like, well, maybe he interrupted a robbery. Maybe he came home and the robbery was in progress. They freaked out. So, you know, they're like going through all the scenarios in their head. They're like, what could this possibly be?
And at this somebody time, that knows him because he let them in the door.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. They're like, who, you know, the police are, you know, basically are like, there's an alarm here. That what they notice right away is that the alarm panel, like the thing that's on the panel, what's that, like little door?
The alarm system, little
door on the panel is gone, so that's missing. So they're first, they're like, well, that's a little weird.
Who ripped that off?
Yeah,
like,
you know,
was just like, meh.
So like they know, like the alarm is disabled, you know. There's no, you know, of course, again, there's no evidence of forced entry. There's an alarm. It's been disabled. And from the alarm company, they do find out that it was disabled. Wow. Words. Disabled at 5:19, which would have been too soon for Alan's actual arrival at 5:35.
In the afternoon.
Evening, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So somebody came in. They knew the alarm code. So they like right away know that it's somebody that knows him.
Okay, so your hubby hired someone to go in there and disable the alarm. That's what I would assume. Like, who else knows your alarm code?
Well, that's the thing. Nobody, all of his friends are like, they were extremely private and no one in the outside of him or his husband,
someone gave
would
it to
know
him.
Or have that code at all. So police are also in the process of tracking down his husband, Dimitri, in Europe. No one has heard from him. They're trying to track him down. They're trying to contact him at the university in Switzerland. Nobody has heard from him. They can't contact him. And again, also, he's the only other person in the world who has the code for their home, right? So Alan's best friend, Grazia, who is also she's the one who had gone to the house, who was the one who found Alan.
Grazia, fun name.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Grazia. She's the one who like called the police when they found Alan. She said she was interviewed, she was like that Dimitri had never wanted anyone even at their home. So like his friends would be like, yeah, like we never really could hang out with him. So like secretly they were privately all kind of like, ah, this is great. So your husband's going to go to Europe for school. Yay. We get to hang out with you kind of in that way, because I guess Dimitri really wasn't somebody who wanted to share his space. He didn't like people over.
So Dimitri, the one who went to Switzerland, he's the one who kind of closed off the couple. Yes. He was like, I don't want people over here.
Yeah.
Alan was more social.
Way more social.
Okay.
Super social guy. like had tons of friends. So she was even saying, she was like, like I said, she was like, Dimitri never wanted anybody in their home. So she actually, Grazia, who is best friends with Alan, never even had met Dimitri.
Whoa.
Could you fucking red imagine?
Flag, red flag.
If I never introduced you to Eric.
No, absolutely. There'd be a major issue.
I mean, honestly.
First of all, I'd be making fun of your Canadian boyfriend.
For real, we'd fake. Be like, I don't think he exists.
He fake.
But Cassie and I would actually have an intervention. We would sit you down and we would be like, there's something wrong. Because there's something wrong.
There is something
wrong. I understand like wanting to stay in that kind of like private bubble in a relationship for as long as possible, because that feels good to not have any like outside opinion, judgment, whatever. Like that, I understand that. But at some point, if you're going to have a future with this person, especially after you've gotten married, you want to integrate them into your life.
Exactly.
So if you were resisting allowing me to meet that person,
I don't like that.
I would be very concerned that there was something wrong.
Yeah.
I would be very concerned.
Also, 100%, you've made up your boyfriend.
It's either it's you've made up your boyfriend or he is a fucking piece of shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I was saying before, so at the time, Alan had been picking up odd jobs, doing extra jobs, catering, doing all this stuff, plus working for this university. So he'd been doing everything he can just to make ends meet. But on top of that, he's also sending money, any extra money that he has on top of like just the get by. He is sending money for Dimitri to cover his boarding, his, you know, any cost of living that he has associated with him living in Europe so that he can get his degree, right? Well, yeah. Police actually are able to finally track down Dimitri. Guess where he's at?
Where?
In Greece.
Well, that's not Switzerland.
He had dropped out of the PhD program and was living in Athens.
You didn't tell your husband papa. You dropped out of a PhD program? Like, okay.
I tell my boyfriend when I have a really explosive shit in the morning, let alone something as major as dropping out of school.
Well, Christina, not all of us are that open. However,
I'm sorry.
However, like, there is no way, like, Anthony and I, if it's an important thing you are most likely having an emotional response to, mm-hmm. which you would if you were dropping out of school somewhere, if you'd moved somewhere and you were dropping out of school.
What if you're just collecting checks from your boyfriend and you could do whatever the fuck you wanted, I guess. Oh,
God. Anyway.
Much older boyfriend who mm-hmm. sounds like trouble. I'm just going to say.
So after being informed, so the cops are calling him, right? They're like, hey, so got some news for you. Just want to let you know, your husband has died. Dimitri immediately.
He's like, oh, no, I'm so sad.
No, you'd think. No, what he does do is he immediately gets defensive and claiming that he knows his law, you know, with his law background, he has an understanding of his rights.
My guy.
Of course, raises red flags.
As someone who is smart, apparently. Like, apparently you're supposed to be super fucking smart. That's the dumbest thing you could possibly do.
This is the thing about book smarts versus street smarts, right?
Yes.
Right here. Right here it is. Book smarts tells you, I got a law degree. I'm smart. Street smarts are like, oh, shit. What? I didn't know.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
He's not emotionally intelligent at all.
Right.
No.
Like, you have to be emotionally intelligent to understand that like other people are expecting you to have an emotional response. So if you don't naturally have that response, well, sir, take some Meisner classes and learn how to emote because you're gonna need it.
Yep. Yep. And right. I'm just also gonna say, like, also, yeah, don't talk to the cops because honestly, they're going to try to get you on whatever. But
sorry, my God, this is his first time hearing. Like, so the cops are just like, at this point, the cops have no reason to even suspect him. He's not even in the same country.
Fake an emotional reaction.
They're literally like not even suspecting Dimitri at all for anything because dude face is not even in the country. So literally they're just like, hey, we wanted to inform you that your husband has died. Hey, brah, guess what? I know my rights because I'm a lawyer.
You can't
pin anything on me. Wait,
you played yourself, sir. Mm-hmm. Like, because they weren't suspecting you, but now now they are, you dumb piece of shit. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, this seemingly nonplussed, you know, he tells the investigators that he had an open marriage. So, he, you know, he's like, oh, this is quite shocking.
Did Husband Alan know died. That?
He had an open marriage and they should check into who he may have been dating. Well, that actually does end up being slightly true. So they're not slightly. It is true. Like, they did apparently have a somewhat open relationship when he went off to Switzerland, because they were like, you know,
you're going to be gone for a
long time. You're going to be gone for a long time. We're going to
open
this relationship up. But so they go through some dating apps, try to see like maybe who he'd been out with. But these leads go absolutely nowhere. Dimitri does not return home for the funeral. Red flag number two.
Wow. Dude,
stating that he was capable of grieving from afar.
This dummy. I don't know why this makes me so mad when criminals are this fucking stupid. Like, I'm just like, have you not seen a single episode of Forensic Files? Like, you can't fake it. Like, you literally, well, this man probably would have been in the all clear.
He's like, extradite me, bitch. Switzerland Greece are not going to extradite to the U.S. if they have death penalty.
This is Canada, and Greece does not extradite to Canada. They do not have an extradition.
There you go.
I guess in his mind, he was like, this is really smart. I mean,
maybe.
But it's like,
you can think I'm guilty all you want. I'm in fucking Greece, bitch.
Okay, but they wouldn't think you were guilty if you were just a better actor.
If you just came to your husband's fucking funeral.
Like, honestly, watch a Daniel Day-Lewis masterclass and get the fuck like, oh my God. Okay. I'm
at least pretend. So at this point, they are running out of leads. They have nothing, right? Until they get a tip that someone is looking into Alan's retirement accounts only 3 weeks post his burial, right?
My dude.
So the dude identified himself as Michael Jones. This person goes to fill out the forms to claim benefits. And when asked to fill in the cause of death, the man writes bludgeoning, which is a detail not released by the police.
Wow.
And only someone involved.
I'm so sorry.
Or a police officer would know this fact.
Why am I so mad that this person is so stupid?
Because he's accumulated so many pieces of paper to say that he's smart. And us over here, we're like, what are you?
Not a college degree among us. And exactly. We're like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Who would do that? Who would do that?
I'm going to tell you who. So his prior employer had also received an inquiry. So this restaurant chain that he had worked for also got an inquiry of insurance benefits from someone called Michael Ivesich. Look, I even pronunciated that.
I do that all the time in my notes.
This name leads to a man who's had... So Dudeface uses his real fucking name. It leads to a man who's had many run-ins with law enforcement, including fraud. Hi. When found, Michael claims to be working on behalf of Dimitri. Like, bruh.
He came clean immediately. He's like, I'm not trying to cover your ass at all. Listen, I will flip on you so fast.
He asked me to, in his behest, do this for him, right? In fact, he had a signed and notarized letter from him.
Wow. Now you're getting a notary into this. I call Chris up and I'm like, hey, can you notarize this hit I'm gonna do?
Oh my god. Like, I'm appalled.
Don't really have a whole ton of stuff to go off of, but what they do are definitely like, okay, well, hi, this is Soup's suspect. And so they are starting to surveil Michael, and suddenly, during the surveillance, bro vanishes. The whole idea was that what they were trying to surveil for is kind of like what they did with the California killer. What's his name?
GSK.
Golden State Killer. Whereas they were trying to like get a piece of his garbage or something like that they could get DNA off of.
My favorite thing about detectiving is getting a random piece of rogue trash and testing it.
And this is what they were trying to do, because one of the things that happened during Alan's murder is that he actually got some scrapings under his fingernails of whoever did this to him. So he they did actually have DNA to look for, right? So they're trying to find this DNA match. While working with Homeland Security, they realize that Michael, so he's in the wind, but they're working with U.S. Homeland Security, and they realize that Michael has landed in Boston and has planned to travel to Athens, Greece. Wow.
What?
Interessante.
What a random place to go. That's cool. Why would you want to go there? No reason.
Well, they decide they're going to interview Michael's wife.
I bet Michael's wife is like, what you want to know? Let's fucking hate this guy.
Is exactly that.
Of course.
She's like, let me break out the Sanka and Entenmann's. We're going to get.
Girl, yeah. Break it out, because here it goes. While interviewing Michael's wife, they discover that Michael was having an affair with Dimitri. She had been keeping a journal of
Queen.
His activities.
Queen, I want to read that journal.
She had everything. She wrote it all down. When he left, where he was, what times, what places, where he was going.
Oh, bitch. But also, can I say that relationship sounds exhausting? Like, just leave him. But
girl,
in this case,
also, her grass is immaculate because she is vacuuming it every single day.
Honey. Mm.
Not a speck. So, also, besides this, like, they can't really use any of this information they get from her because, unfortunately, she's married to Broface, and that would be using, like...
Can't you waive that? Can't you, like, choose to waive that?
I don't think you can.
That's some
bullshit. Even in Canada, apparently.
That is some bullshit. I know. If you're like, no, I actually hate my husband and I would like to tell
But that's also a problem, because then that's also a problem. What if you just hate your husband and you want to just tell
a
bunch
of
shit?
Yeah, but you can hate anybody.
Well, this is true.
Like,
in a recovery
but
email, though, they
hate
do
anybody the way that you hate your husband.
Mm-hmm.
There, the way that you hate your cheating husband,
cheating on you. Not only like just fucking. You have kids, so okay. Sorry, I don't want to skip ahead. All right, in a recovered email that they find between Alan and Dimitri, it is revealed that someone named Michael in this email had access to a key to their home. So. This is an email between Michael and Dimitri and Alan, where in which Alan's like, hey, why the fuck does this Michael guy have a key to our fucking house? Yeah. They also learn that not only could Dimitri benefit from the $50,000 worth of retirement from, but Alan's also had a $2 million life insurance policy, which was solely in Dimitri's name.
As much as I want to like take care of my family, I'm like low key. We're never having an expensive insurance policy on me.
You know what?
I don't want you to be rich and happy when I'm murdered and dead.
No, I don't need. Yeah. I don't need any motivation.
Honey, you're
to
cremating
get rid of me.
You ain't got much burial expenses. Calm down. Anyway, unable to get a DNA sample from Michael, they were able to obtain a sample from one of his sons.
Oh, I love this shit.
So what they did is mom and the kids go out to dinner and they grab a chopstick from son and we're like, let's test it. And it is conclusively his father, whoever's DNA is his father. Is the person who did this.
I kind of want to know, like, what does Dimitri look like? Like, can he get it? Like, why?
No. Oh, no. Dimitri?
Is he hot?
Not really. He's kind of creepy and plastic dollish looking.
Interesting. Okay.
But Michael? Oh. Alan, actually, best looking of them all.
All right.
I think. I mean, personal
feelings. It's always the way it goes.
I know. Anywho. Conclusive link, Alan to the death, or to Alan's death. With the help of Interpol, they, again, they can't extradite him, either of them, from Greece. But what they can do is flag both Dimitri and Michael and put warrants out for their arrest. So basically, they're like, if you move, we get you. Michael is eventually arrested. And again, without the extradition, they're just going to have to wait again for Dimitri to try and travel outside of Greece.
Wait, so where was Michael arrested? In Greece?
No, I think he was flagged from like some type of like he was going to travel somewhere.
Well, that dummy. Yeah. Why would you go anywhere?
Exactly. I was just going to say, if you were already in Greece, which supposedly from what I hear, it's in my top five travel places.
Ugh, I want to go there same, bad.
One of the most beautiful places. You'd be like, oh, Anthony, so I can't go leave there. The most beautiful place ever. Yeah.
No, that's how I feel. Oh, I want to go to the beaches. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, so
I want to see those white roofs. So I want to see the Acropolis.
Okay,
we're going to
go as like a group trip because Anthony does not want to go to Greece. And I've been trying to convince him for like 4 years.
I am so all about Greece. 100%. Word.
Same. I love history. All right. So, 9 months later, police are notified. So this is like 9 months. They already got Michael, right? They're notified that Dimitri has landed at Pearson, Toronto International
Airport. Why would you go back to Canada, you dumb bitch? Like, why?
Well, I'm going to tell you. Dimitri was back to fight for Ellen's death benefits.
Oh, you idiot.
Money.
You greedy, stupid idiot.
Both employers refused payment without a deposition hearing. Greed and hubris brought him back to Canada. November 2017, though, finally, Dimitri and Michael face charges in Alan's death. And after nearly 7 month trial, they are both found guilty and given life.
Of course they are.
But wait.
No.
The convincing attorney, Dimitri, though, after only 3 months, appeals on the case for circumstantial evidence. He's saying, like, you guys really have nothing on me. This is all circumstantial. You have no...
For Dimitri, because there's no DNA evidence linking him to anything.
He's released on bail.
Shut your fucking
mouth. On house arrest, awaiting his appeal trial. So that is currently the situation.
I am furious. You know what? I am also like, I'm like extra furious because like these people were so bad at criminaling.
You are so bad at criminaling.
They're so bad at it that I'm like, how the fuck did this guy get out after being so blatantly bad at being a criminal? Like,
you cannot cough right now without having accidentally watched a true crime show. And I'm shocked that he was that bad at being a criminal.
So bad.
I am angry about this situation. Wow.
It's appalling.
Yeah.
It's appalling. So basically he's just waiting for his trial.
It's also appalling because you know the reason why he's out right now. And I don't mean to eat the rich twice in one episode, but I am going to.
Money.
It's because he had money for a fucking lawyer. So hashtag eat the rich a second time.
Right. Fuck this motherfucker. And this is the thing too. It's like it seems like the guy is rich already. Plus then he's like, I really need this 50K. Plus I'm also gonna want that 2 mil. Plus what?
It's greed. I mean, it's what we've talked about. I mean, when we've talked about billionaires on the show, a lot of times I sent you a thing, Christina, or I tried to, where it was like they tried to spend Jeff Bezos' money and they did all of these things and they didn't even break they barely broke the billion like level because he has so much money. Like, I feel like people like this, there's a certain breed of human being who... Everyone likes money. Everybody needs money. It's just a fact of life.
But however, there are certain majority of us, like, they literally have proven, like, beyond a certain point, your happiness does not increase the more money that you have.
Even if you don't know that, so you're trying to incur more money. Like, I understand it, but, like, there are certain people who have a weird, unusual relationship with money because you have to be someone who's hoarding money, who has so much money that they can't possibly spend it. Your relationship to wealth has to be so warped to be able to do that. And this person, I mean, it's not Jeff Bezos level clearly, but like this person, like their relationship with money is so fucked up that they're not even thinking clearly. Like they can't even make rational decisions. Like that's so wild to me.
Like fucking modern day dragons. You know?
It's wild. It's so wild. Wow. Well, that was a good one. And I'd never heard of it. Yeah, that was amazing.
I was like, literally, I was like, I don't like to pick the one that's like right on top. I'm getting this one.
But I've never heard of it. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I never heard the story either. It was that's crazy. Great.
Wow. Whew.
Yeah.
Well, what are you guys watching this week?
Well, first of all, I have two things to share. One is that Keegan shared with us how amazing it is to have an electric razor in their life, that I bought one and used it today. And
do you love it?
I'm so happy.
Oh my God. I haven't used any. And look, of course, you're going to get closer. You're going to get a closer shave if you use a regular razor.
It's silk.
But my life has changed using an electric razor. It really has. Like, that's what I use 99.5% of the time.
Here's what I find is it gives you that like afternoon day after you've silk shaved. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Oh, because we don't need it.
I just don't want to like look like I have a big hairy beast hair legs.
We don't need it to be perfect nowadays. That's right.
You're not touching me
most of the time. And it's actually better. It's better for your skin, ingrown hairs, all that shit. I will advocate for it till the day I die. So, it's the best.
Solidly here for it. Got an electric razor. The other thing I want to tell you about that I am watching. Okay. So the other thing I'm super excited about is that, okay, so you guys know how much I love Anne of Green Gables.
We do.
It's a thing. I love it so much that I've owned it on VHS multiple times, DVDs multiple times, Blu-rays, you know, like I've had all of the layers, right? And so then I had to purchase it because the only way you could purchase it is through the Sullivan store, like their app, or I'm sorry, their website, right? So you'd have to watch it through their website, which is fine, which I just watch it on my phone if I wanted to. They have an app now. You can have that app on your Apple. Oh my God, I'm so excited. You can have it on your
jumping up and
Apple
down.
TV. So did I or did I not download that Gazebo app on my Apple TV so that I can watch Anne of Green Gables there trilogy anytime I want? Yes, I did.
Yes, that are just comfort. And like, I love that for you. I love that journey for you. There are just things that are comfort. And
it is comfort.
We need that in these trying times.
Anne of Green Gables is my hug. Oh, yes, full hug. And I just want people to know, because I know we have a lot of Anne of Green Gables fans, funny enough, because I do hear it from them. That is an app. It's the Gazebo app. You can download it and you can purchase the films. You can have them and watch them anytime you want. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes. I told you guys I've been in Move Central, so it's been all Schitt's Creek and Criminal Minds in the background. So perfect. Like murder and fucking Moira. And it's
love it, love it, love it, love
the best.
Amazing. Murder and Moira.
Okay, so I have a few things. I'd already seen this, but Anthony had heard it on a podcast, and we, you know, like scary movies. So Anthony was like, "We have to watch this," and I'm like, "I'm totally down to watch it again." And I feel like I am the resident horror movie like expert on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So I will say, for the sake of that, Anthony and I watched Train to Busan, which is a Korean movie. It's in Korean. You have to read the subtitles. But I watched it when I was in Korea the first time. And then I watched it again. And it is a zombie movie. It's a Korean zombie movie where they're stuck on a train where there's a zombie outbreak. And
don't like
it
that.
Is very good. And so I would suggest it. However, if you are trying to escape the awfulness that is this entire timeline, like what's happening right now is so fucked that I was, when I cannot express to you the sheer joy when I opened Netflix and I saw that there was a new episode of a couple of things. There was a new episode of Great British Bake Off.
Yes. I can't believe it.
I did fucking watch I am so happy.
Did they bring back Mary Berry or was I hallucinating?
No, they didn't bring back Mary Berry. So it's Prue and Paul Hollywood. And then they have a new, the guy from Bridesmaids, who's the brother to Rebel Wilson.
Oh
yeah.
He's one of the new hosts.
Nice.
So there's like two. Yeah. So it's great. And it's funny because it's just like they've basically created their own. They don't go into it too much, but they created their own like baking village because they wanted to be able to have the show. So they picked the contestants. They took them to this village. They all live there together.
Oh my God.
And they've quarantined for 2 weeks.
Oh.
And then they started shooting. So like.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
They did all the things to make it safe. And it's just. Between that and what I'm about to talk about next, which is another like British perfection icon, Call the Midwife is also back on Netflix.
Yes.
So excited.
And
yes.
Did I watch the first episode of Great British Bake Off and then follow it up with the first episode of the new season of Call the Midwife?
How could your soul feel?
Yes, I did. And my soul felt like it was getting a warm, kind, soft cashmere hug. That's what I felt like was happening.
Like a heated blanket of made of cashmere.
Yes, it was like a weighted blanket of love. Like I was so happy.
My soul was excited just knowing.
Yes.
It was what I needed. Like I needed Great British Bake Off, which is just wholesome love, and then Call the Midwife, which is just like emotion, but like in a beautiful, pure way.
Yeah.
That's what I needed because I was literally feeling like, okay, nothing matters and the world is on fire and everything sucks, which is true. But if you can escape it for 2 seconds by watching these shows, I highly recommend.
Yes.
I recommend it.
I'm here for it for sure. I need a little warmth like that.
Do it.
I'm especially excited to watch Call the Midwife on. So I ordered this couch.
And the couch is beautiful.
I thought it was a normal size couch. It's actually rather large. So
it's perfect for your space.
Yeah.
You need a large couch. Large couches are great.
But yeah, so I'm like, this is Mecca couch. And I'm excited to watch that on my new Mecca couch. So
there's something I don't know even how to describe what it is about Call the Midwife. I don't know what it is, but it is the most comforting thing I've ever seen.
It reminds me of, you know, the like I was telling you last week about reading Dickens. It's kind of like there's something velvet.
Yeah.
It's the same thing I feel about like Call the Midwife or Great British Bake Off. Well,
because
velvet.
People always make the moral decision.
Exactly. It's not true, which is what I thought when I was watching it. I was like, okay, everybody who lives in this town is like kind and respectful, like for the most part. And if they are a shitty person by the end of the episode, they've usually come around, which is not
the
way that life works.
No,
but
it's
it is
not.
What we want life to be.
Exactly.
And so it feels good to watch people just be kind.
How
like
you know people could
human
be.
Beings.
How people could be.
It feels good. So if you just need that, I know it's not real. I know it's like a bunch of screenwriters writing this, but if you just need to restore that feeling that like humans are okay, please watch that show.
This is such a good point. Oh my gosh. Well, if you guys have shows that we should watch, if you have stories to tell, if you want to just reach out or watch our YouTube stuff, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.